Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. This is Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy.
That's right.
How you doing, man?
Doing great. Be really nice if Matt Brown didn't distract us before the show so much.
Matt Brown showing no pre-show etiquette by leaving the studio just moments ago.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's still walking out. Yeah.
We're pumped because it is a football Friday.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Hour number two of the show, as always on Fridays. We are graced. We really are graced. We are humbled with the presence of a trio of individuals. Chris Felica from Fox Sports, talking college football with us, but more than just college, whatever he's betting on.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Fezzik, only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest back in the day, with all his mishugas, he'll be in here as well. And then Dr. Bob in the cleanup spot. I know it's only three, but it's a cleanup spot. He likes to be the anchor of the whole thing. He says, Gil, I should be last. They'll all wait in anticipation. And so there he is. He's scheduled for last.
Gives us an opportunity to tease it all week.
Week long. That's what we do here.
On Monday morning, we come in and we say, wait for 8:45 on Friday.
Guessing lines, schmessing lines. Don't worry. Dr. Bob's coming on Friday. We also have Paul Carr, the return of Paul Carr with Premier League picks. Man moves the chains with his bets. And Jason Weingarten from Under Cloud of Smoke as well. We'll also do Are We Sure? For week 7 in the NFL. Love that segment, by the way. I know you've tried.
Are you sure?
I am. I know you've tried to kill it with other knockoff versions of Are We Sure? Like Thing or Not a Thing or Hot or Not Hot or whatever it is you're doing over there.
It's just segments, man.
Are We Sure? Estamos seguros? That's coming up for week 7 in the National Football League. So it's all packed. We're pumped. Always on a Friday. Let us start with baseball yesterday. Ooh, it got good again. At least in the American League, it did. Game 3 of the American League Championship Series yesterday was drama. Mm-hmm. Man, was this awesome. Guardians are up in this game 3-1 in the 8th. 3-1 in the 8th, and there's two down and nobody out for the Yankees. And Juan Soto gets on base with a walk, and the Guardians bring in their closer extraordinaire, Emmanuel Clase. Now, I like to do, you know how people do splits on players? I will do splits on Clase with pre-tattoo on the neck, post-neck tattoo. And ever since he's gotten that little thing on his neck, he hadn't been very good.
What did that? That happened mid-season?
No, like 3 weeks ago or something. Of a sudden, he appeared with the neck tattoo.
Yeah, that's a bold choice end of season.
Anyway, Aaron Judge steps to the plate, two down in the top of the 8th, down 2 with Soto on, and bam! Oppo Jack, which was a line drive that was probably at the most 25 feet up.
Yeah, it was not high, yeah.
It was incredible. And it just gets out, and we have a tie ball game, and the Yankees are going crazy. Next batter steps up against Class A is Giancarlo Stanton. He goes yard, and the Yankees lead it 4-3 in the top of the 8th, and they're going nuts, the Yankees are, because this is them on the cusp of a 3-0 lead in this best of 7 series. And, you know, if you're not the 2004 Red Sox, that's death's door for the opponent.
Yeah. Plus the way it happens too, right? How many years have we been waiting for Yankees fans have been waiting for Judge Stanton? Boom, boom. Takes it. Take over late in the game. Win it for us. Looks like they're about to do it.
Yankees add the old insurance run in the top of the 9th. It's 5-3. And then bottom of the 9th, Jose Ramirez gets on an error, but then Josh Naylor immediately with a double play. So it's, you know, at this point it was not Weaver anymore, but it was Holmes on the mound for the Yankees. So there's two out, nobody on. The Guardians are down two. They get a runner on base, and up steps Johnkensy Noel to the plate, down again to their last out with a runner on. Good. Bye. Absolutely pulverizes the baseball. Gone. And Cleveland goes into utter pandemonium, except for Clevelander Adam Burke, who I text and I go, let's go. And he's like, oh, boy. This is painful. I'm like, yes, it is. It's torture. That's what we used to call it in San Francisco.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you're just torturing him at that point. Yep.
5-5, we go to extras. Bottom of the 10th, Lane Thomas almost goes yard. It goes off the top of the wall. He gets on second base with two out, and up steps David Fry. Actually, that was the previous one. That was Luke Weaver who gave up the shot to Noel. Pardon me. This is, in this case, this is... Holmes, and then this is David Fry, who was one of our March, April, and May stars. Well, we had those Guardians bet. He goes yard. Both of those homers from Noel and Fry, no doubters. And the Guardians from the dead beat the Yankees 7-5. And that series now 2-1. Game 4 is tonight in Cleveland at Progressive Field. That one is going to be Luis Gil going up against Gavin Williams. Neither of these guys have pitched since the regular season. So that's game 4 tonight. That will be preceded, by the way, it's minus 120 on the Yankees. The Yankees, the slightest of favorites in game 4, as the Guardians try to knot that series up at 2 games apiece. The early game today, because we do have a doubleheader, is game 5 of the Dodgers and the Mets. That's the one that's kind of like, my goodness, remember all that Mets hope that existed mere days ago? Well, the Dodgers win last night 10-2. The Dodgers' 3 wins in this series now, they lead the best of 7 series, 3-1, are 9-0, 8-0, and 10-2. Is that good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. That was a not very competitive game last night.
Mookie was 4-6 with 4 ribbies last night. He was tremendous. It's like, it's not going to be a good game for somebody else. Oh, I forgot Mookie plays.
Right.
Yeah, there's 4. It's just amazing.
But also, how like depressing does it immediately have to be when Ohtani gets up to like first at bat and it's just home run? Like, oh, cool. We're down 1-0.
I'm just living this through Mets fans, though, like our buddy Parlay. It's like the hope of all of these Mets fans trying to get back to their first World Series since 2015. Before that, it was 2000. They haven't won since 1986. They're just as the Mets' magic to get them in on that final regular season doubleheader, their performance in the wild card and the division rounds. They win game 2. All of a sudden, Bueller is set up for game 3. Everyone's super excited. And the Dodgers have beaten them so badly that the hope has diminished to they have to win today or it's over.
It's not even entertaining for those of us that might be in the camp of, look, I'm not rooting against the Mets, but it's very entertaining in sports when the Mets get far and then something, you know, tragic, horrible happens loss-wise. But like you said, the Dodgers aren't even making this competitive.
Well, it's Jack Flaherty as a minus 142 favorite for the Dodgers this afternoon at Citi Field. Again, the Mets trying to stave off elimination, going up against, this is David Peterson, who his baseball card stats a little better than his advanced stats. His ERA is better than his fielding independent and his xFIP. The reason for that, a slightly elevated strand rate and a really reduced home run to fly ball rate. So not quite as good as the ERA suggests. There'll be a quick hook, as quick a hook as you could possibly have, and as elimination games go, and that's the story this afternoon. Dodgers minus 142 favorites as they look to close out the Mets. Come on, Guardians, make that other one competitive at least. Football last night, I ended up using the Broncos as my as one of my millions picks.
Good for you. That was an easy one.
Yeah, I bet them too. But that was because I couldn't come up with a better fifth.
Yeah.
And there was the possibility that this was a free bingo square yesterday. It does go over in the end. 33-10, the Broncos beat the Saints in a game that does not deserve any kind of recap other than the Broncos were smart. Sean Payton was smart to take field goals. He just knew if he just got points every time that would eventually add up. Spencer Rattler fumbled twice. One was returned for a touchdown. There was a second one. Or actually a third fumble, but a second one that was actually returned for a fumble also by Cody Barton in both cases. Cody Barton, one counted. One in the first half did not count when the score was 6-0 because the Broncos were ruled offside. So this could have technically been even worse than it was. 33-10. It was just destruction. Bo Nix, 16 of 26 for 164, but 10 carries for 75 yards as well. Spencer Rattler was through for 172 yards. Not only did he have the 2 fumbles, but he was sacked 6 times in this football game. And the Saints, after winning their first 2, now a MASH unit, obviously don't have their starting quarterback in Derek Carr, but now, as I mentioned yesterday, could be the case, Rashid Shaheed is gone for the year. That was confirmed yesterday. And the Saints are, they've lost five in a row. They're 2-5 now. And the Broncos get to 4-3. And I'll say this about the Broncos, which said earlier in the week, they strike me, listen, every NFL game, I mean, you could say this about a lot of sports, but every NFL game, certainly if you take a lead, you're in an advantageous position. But I think the Broncos are the most game script impacted team there is. In other words, if they can get ahead, that kind of defense and that kind of conservative offense can get you to the finish line in a ball game. They are not a team that will do well when they're behind. I know they made it interesting against the Chargers last week, but I think that's kind of their identity. Mm-hmm. But good on them. They're 4-3, and good on Sean Payton for coaching up Bo Nix. They have done a lot better here early on than I would have suspected.
Yeah, and I mean, I would add on, I think the game script you're talking about is dead on, but it also, they feel like a dead under team going forward. This game goes over, which was maybe the biggest surprise to me was, I was on team total under on the Saints yesterday. That got home easily. Not a huge shock to see the offensive struggles from the Saints, but then on the defensive side of the ball, just getting run all over by the Broncos. Like, that's got to be the way more concerning part if you're New Orleans.
We talked about that yesterday, though. That was a definite possibility. By the way, it would have stayed under, but in the, in sort of garbage time, the fumble return for a touchdown by Barton, and then the Saints down 33-3 get the cosmetic touchdown at the end with Jake Haener at quarterback, not with Rattler at quarterback.
Yeah, but you're talking about the Saints next week. We usually talk about like two quarterbacks and who's going to go. It could be like one of four quarterbacks next week. We don't know what Rattler's status really is after that game. Haener a possibility. Carr could be back. And Taysom Hill maybe could be back. Maybe he's the guy.
Could be Bobby A. Bear. We don't know.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe they could trade back for your guy, Jameson.
They should, yeah.
Yeah. You still want Jameis to start in Cleveland?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
Kelly guy. Kelly Bidlin, 9-1. Heading into this weekend of Circa Millions Q2.
Don't know what I'm playing, but yeah.
We'll come back. Are we sure week 7 in the National Football League and everything we have bet in the NFL on Sunday? Or maybe Monday? It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you this football season and start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. Get your first year for only $199. Just use promo code ANG. Get full access to everything we do. That includes daily best bets, top-rated betting systems, 24/7 video access, betting splits, plus our all-new NBA betting guide. Remember to use promo code ANG, though.
ANG like a numbers game.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access that way for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. You know what else subscribers get?
What else?
Picks.
That's right.
From every host, from every guest in every sport. Hope y'all were on the tennis last night. Another plus 199 dog and a plus 168 dog. Aoi Ito, plus 199, getting it done last night. While you might have been asleep over Evelise, and then Dion Parry, spelled Diane Perry.
Oh, Diane's back.
At plus 168, she got it done against Clara Towson. That on the heels of a plus 280 dog on Ito the night before. Hope everybody's cashing. Pays to be a subscriber. Visa.com/subscribe.
Yeah. Late night with Gil.
Late night tennis from Asia. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Dice King Sports Picks. Is there a video version of the Megapod? If so, where? We do not do a video version. We used to do a video clip. We don't do that anymore.
Yep.
We don't want to. It's something about cannibalizing our downloads or something.
Yeah, I'm not the person to ask.
I don't know. Maybe we should. That way you can see me get mad visually at Todd.
Don't get wrong. I would love a video version of it. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. It's mayhem. Las Vegas Chris was our guest. He just tweeted it out. He said, enjoyed my annual visit on the Megapod with the guys. Carter Collinsworth and me have one thing in common. They spell their name without the H.
I mean, much like the VSiN, what we used to call it, the VSiN Plus Plus subscription,
yes.
Right? Like, I would actually like more of the video of you guys getting set up beforehand.
Oh, my God.
With, like, commentary provided by Wyatt Tomchek. that's really what I would like.
Jim B54, particularly excellent Megapod, particularly excellent Todd show, he says. Entertaining and interrupting, like only he can do. A good friend Chillionaire says, Gil, I had a question for Fezzik when he comes on later, if you don't mind asking if he can explain how he determines NFL power rankings and the corresponding spreads for matchups. Thank you and enjoy the weekend, guys. Long shots. Oh, Fezzik will be happy to answer that.
Yeah, he will. Buckle in.
Casino Travel Channel, happy with the pro tip of the day about Chipotle yesterday. Jody Boggs. Oh, he's quoting Will Hill from the Megapod. I'm going to play them, meaning the Titans, until they cover a blanking number. I'm going down with the ship, boys. James Sod. Oh, my God. I was thinking the same thing about Classe's tattoo. I don't think he had it all of the regular season. He didn't. Like, all of a sudden, it showed up in the postseason.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. It's a cool tattoo. Hasn't worked out for him, though. S. Enright. Stephen Enright. He likes the handicap on the Titans from Willie as well. This is from Mike Rouse. In the last undefeated NFL market, does Kansas City automatically win if Minnesota loses to Detroit in the early game? Excellent question. It depends on the rules. At Circa, I know for the case last year, it is time sensitive. So if you bet it at Circa, it does matter time of day. And I know that will be unfair to some people, you know, who have the opposite of it. Mm-hmm. But if you have Kansas City and Minnesota loses early at Circa, you win on Kansas City. Other books, I'm not sure it's that quite explicit like that.
I don't know that. Yeah. I actually think Circa's the only one that does it that way, or at least that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Gil knows these rules well.
Well, because we hit the last win last year, 15-1 on the Panthers.
It didn't matter anyway.
It didn't matter.
Right? Yeah.
But it could have mattered.
We were all excited that it might matter.
We were actually rooting
for it. I was excited for you that it was going to matter.
We were rooting for it to win on some technicality, but we won it fair and square anyway. Okay, NFL best bets this weekend in the National Football League, week number 7. I made them all during guessing lines. The Patriots plus 6 in London against the Jaguars. That's just more of a commentary on, look, I get it. The Jaguars are in London for a second straight week, so they don't have to deal with a travel. I still don't think they should be 6-point favorites against anybody. And the Patriots are kind of feisty. At least Drake May looked credible last week against the Texans.
And just got an update on him as well. He will be playing this week. I don't know if anybody caught the odd. He practiced on Wednesday, I think it was, and it was an MRI on his knee afterward. That was a little odd.
But this is back to 6, by the way, largely. Maybe because of that.
Yeah.
This could dip to 5.5. It's back to 6. I'm on the Lions. I bet it at 2.5. It's 1.5. I'd still bet it now. I just think they're a better football team than the Minnesota Vikings. I don't think home field really factors into my calculus here. I'll take the Lions even at the current number, but I got them at plus 2.5 early in the week. 1.5 now. Green Bay minus 2.5. I know it's 3 now, but I'm on the Packers minus 2.5. Again, this pays to listen to guessing lines. Mm-hmm. Against the Texans, I think they're the better team, especially now with Nico Collins out for the Texans. And I got the Niners. This one is still at 1.5. You could have gotten it at a better number than I did at 1 earlier in the week, but I still got the Niners minus 1.5. And this is basically, again, not every handicap has to be a dissertation in metrics, as I like to say, but this is, at some point, Patrick Mahomes can't possibly, he says, I'm saying it laughing, right? Because of course it could happen. But I'm just saying at some point they're not going to win every ball game with limited personnel. And the Niners are still a better team talent-wise across the board. So, hey, again, could Mahomes win this? And would I be surprised at all? Yes and no. Yes, he could. And no, I wouldn't be surprised. But I think it's sort of my place to take the Niners here, minus 1.5.
Yeah, I'm with you on Niners. Listen to Deep Dive Pod yesterday. I thought Drew and Andy put it well, too. If you lose on this game, you're probably going to feel like an idiot either way. Either you should have seen it coming, with the Niners, or you should have seen it coming
That's
with Mahomes. So, yeah, it's one of those games. But, yeah, I'm with you on the Niners. I played the money line. I think that, as you kind of brought up with the spread, too, if you're interested in playing this game either way, I mean, if you're – you know, we've talked a lot all week, too. I think Chiefs are a good teaser leg if you really like them at 1.5. This number is going to continue to fluctuate. Like, this is probably going to be the most bet-on game of the week, I would think, right? 49ers, Chiefs. This is the marquee matchup of the week. So I'm with you on San Francisco. I just think the talent differential is too much here. And we were expecting, like you said, closer to 3 on this number. So I played short money line on the opener at minus 115. But I just keep your eye on this thing because it is. I see ones out there. I see twos. I see cheaper money lines. See more expensive ones out there right now. Couple that I also played the Lions-Bills teaser. That was on opening Lions on Sunday. Lions up to 8 at that point. Bills were down to 2.5 as they were still an 8.5 point favorite. I know they've got a little bit higher now. But keep your eye on that one. That could easily come back, too. Boyd does have an 8.5 out there right now on the Bills. A couple that I added over the past 24 hours. Texans-Packers. I played the over. Kept going back and forth on how I wanted to play that game, Gil. But, man, I just don't think either one of these offenses is going to get slowed down too much. Even with Nico Collins out, I still think both these offenses have got a lot of firepower. And I think more question marks on the defensive side of the ball than I was going to have with both of these teams at this point. So played the over 47 on that one. And then one other teaser that I did add this morning, Lions and Cardinals. I was hoping the Cardinals were going to get to 3.5 at some point. That has not happened. It's gone back the other way. Cardinals taking money, so I put them in a teaser with the Detroit Lions this week. So Lions and two teasers for me. I'm with you. I think that is the better side in that game.
All right. You ready to play Are We Sure?
Are We Sure? Yeah.
Estamos seguros. Estamos seguros.
You know what? I guess.
Sung to the tune of the Spanish smash No Tengo Dinero.
Really?
Yeah. Go okay. ahead.
All right. Are We Sure?
Yeah.
The Steelers should be making a change at quarterback.
No, we're not. This is very, very unorthodox. I think I speak for most who like look at this and like, why are we going to Russell Wilson? Because when last we saw Russell Wilson, he kind of, how can I put this technically, sucked at football.
Yeah.
Justin Fields has not been spectacular. He's not been the greatest forward passer in the history of the National Football League, but they're 4-2. This feels interesting. Jeff Saturday on ESPN says, well, we don't see practice, so maybe they know something we don't.
Yeah, I heard similar things, like he's been lighting it up in practice, Russell Wilson. There's a part of my heart still, Gil, for all the money that Russell Wilson won me in years past that I think he could still be the best quarterback for him.
Yeah.
But, like, I can't argue anything you just said.
Yeah.
All right, are we sure the Commanders should be the favorites to win the NFC
East? I'm sorry, say it slower, what?
Are we sure?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
The Commanders should be the favorites to win the NFC East.
No, not with that defense.
Okay.
Like I'm almost yes, but not quite with that defense. It's Eagles Commanders mano a mano.
All right. I was expecting a different answer from Gil.
Well, just get, right. If the defense was better, now Jonathan Allen's out for the year. So how could I say that with such confidence?
We're still not, keeping
the
it
question
real.
Is, are we sure?
Yeah.
Sure is a very superlative, definitive.
Right. Are we sure?
Yeah.
Adding Amari Cooper puts the Bills in the AFC's top tier.
I don't think Amari Cooper necessarily is the difference between them being that and not being that. I think we know the Bills level. I think Amari Cooper's a good pickup. Again, like I said, in the preseason, they need to spread the field. Maybe he does that for Josh Allen. But that's not the difference. They're still a good football team. They're just a bottom top 10 team.
Okay. Switching to baseball. Are we sure?
Yeah.
We're going to get a Dodgers Yankees World Series.
No, we're not. Guardians are live. They're live. Sorry, Yankees fans. We're not sure about that.
Okay.
That's all I got.
I got. Yeah, one more. Are we sure? Back to NFL, though. Derek Henry or Saquon Barkley will win Offensive Player of the Year?
I believe what you said was, are we sure Derek Henry or Saquon Barkley will win Offensive Player of the Year? Is that what I said, yes. Is that what came out of your mouth? We are not sure of that. I can't give you an alternative right now, but we're not sure of that. It's still week seven upon us, and I don't know that any of them they're great, but I'm not sure we know that definitively. Coming back with soccer next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you the type of players looking to get down 10 large, $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing Sport Trade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. -104 lines instead of the typical -110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. Sport Trade is perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Sport Trade live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, now Arizona. Still coming to Virginia. Coming soon. Download Sport Trade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Speaking of Virginia, you see that Tony Bennett resigned yesterday?
Yeah, that's wild.
So he's going to retirement? What do you think is behind that? Something's going on.
I'm going to guess there's a story that will come out at some point that we have no idea yet.
We're all a little too cynical about this, but I think we're all probably correct in our cynicism.
I don't even know if it's, anything terribly bad. It's just what you just don't see this close to the season.
I just wonder if there's some violations or something coming, Who knows? I don't know.
Too good a defense.
Too close to the season is correct. That's the point.
Yeah. Get him out of the sport.
Too low score. He's a champion, man. There was, by the way, I'll say this again. We talk about team of destiny. We throw around that phrase. Those Virginia Cavaliers, those Virginia Wahoos, what was it, 2019, was it? Yeah. Or 2018, I can't remember now. That run to the championship in the NCAA tournament was as team of destiny-ish as you will ever see. That was unbelievable. We get tweets of beating the book. Chance Copperpot. What's Chance Copperpot from? The Goonies, you said?
I believe it is a Goonies reference, yes. Chance owns a fine bakery, I believe.
Goonie Google. Chance Copperpot. I used Broncos in the contest as well. I had a minus 13 alt line loaded up but passed on it. Is a bet not made worse than a bad beat? Feels like it after missing your last few tennis dogs. What time do you think is best to check? I need to set an alarm. Okay, there's a lot there. One, let's go in reverse order. Tennis plays were up by 10:30 Eastern yesterday, 7:30 Pacific. So, you know, when the tour is in Asia, I have to do it a little earlier. When it's in Europe, I can wait a little longer. The time zones are the issue. Why are you looking at me smart?
I'm enjoying the idea of a Gil tennis pick alarm clock. This is great.
So last night they were up, and then the first match didn't start until at least 90 minutes after that, because you know how tennis scheduling goes. The other question you have, which I think is a fascinating one, because we've talked about this before, is a bet not made worse than a bad beat? Yes, there is. It's the gambling psychology of it to me. This also applies in the stock market, too. Like, if you have you're like, oh, my God, I got to buy, you know, whatever stock X, and then it soars to the moon, but you didn't get in on it. That's a worse feeling than almost losing money on it.
Oh, I completely.
Yeah, for sure.
Completely agree.
Bob C-137, I can finally check, quote, find out what a Sean Payton revenge spot looks like off of my bucket list. And Mike Stacks, I'll be in town November 3rd. Any chance you could blindfold me and take me to the sushi place? As long as you're willing to be thrown in a trunk. And then Minko 304. Just when I think the Megapod guests can't get any better, you bring in Las Vegas Chris. My podcast feed is a who's who of Megapod guests. Thanks for introducing me to all of them. Thank you to all of our Megapod guests for being so generous with their times and insights, because it's not a short show, by the way.
No, it's not. You've had a great guest list this year, as you always do. A lot of the usuals, but man, for some of these guys that keep doing it every single year, it's just great.
Yeah. Subjecting themselves to to our Michigas also.
Yeah. All shenanigans. I can't believe they come back. Yeah.
Oh, jeez, I can't wait another year for this. Okay, before we get to Paul Carr, because Paul Carr is ready to go here, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Last two, are we sure's? Because we didn't get to all of them.
Quick. Yeah, I'm going
to
do a third one too. Devontae Adams edition will save the Jets season.
No.
We're not sure about that?
No.
All right. Are we sure the Falcons should be minus 180 to win the NFC South?
No. Tampa Bay exists. Absolutely they should not be.
And one that has nothing to do with the upcoming guest. Are we sure the Dolphins will continue to suck out of the bye?
Well, I think we should ask Paul Carr about that.
Oh, great.
Paul, it's as if we have him ready to go. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R. He's here for Premier League picks, but he's a noted Kansas City Royals and Miami Dolphins sports fan, and he joins us now from Topeka, Kansas. What about that question?
I mean, I'm not convinced. I haven't seen anything since Tua went out to suggest that this offense is getting better. So until he comes back, I won't believe it. And even when he is back, you know, obviously all the stuff he's dealing with, and can they just, you know, are they going to suddenly turn something on and things start clicking? I don't know about that either. So I don't feel very good about the rest of this Dolphin season regardless.
Yeah. We didn't get a chance to talk after your Royals got bounced. How do you feel about that? Empty?
Yeah. I mean, look, they lost 106 games last year. So if you told me at the beginning of the season they would make the playoffs, win a series, and, you know, play the Yankees fairly well, I would have taken that in a heartbeat. So, you know, just the fact that, and I got to go to a playoff game for the first time. So a lot of good feelings.
Yeah.
And the core is, you know, Bobby Witt's there for a while. They have Reagans and Lugo and Salvi coming back and Pasquantino. So like the core is there to, you know, not make this into a long-term thing, but you got a few years, you hope, where you can make runs like this, sneak into the playoffs. Again, like every year, the Central doesn't look like it's a powerhouse type of thing. So optimistic, I think, on the whole, even though it's hard because all those Yankees games were so close, you feel like you could easily stolen one or two and at least gotten to a game five.
I feel that way about the Royals whole season. Like on paper, it all made sense and it just never quite manifested for them.
Yeah.
And Bobby Witt going 2 of 17, I believe it was, in the postseason.
Yeah.
Well, he that guy is unbelievable. And then to have that postseason, I hate that in any way would stain how great of a ball player he is. Let's go to the Premier League. How are you doing? How's the season going?
We went 1-2 last week, down a little bit. I think a unit and a half, 2 units or so for the year so far. So we're hanging around.
You move the chains every year on the show. It's a long haul. What do you got in your 3-pack this week?
All right. We're starting tomorrow. We're taking a first half total for Brentford. So Brentford over half a goal in the first half at +130. Brentford's having one of the weirdest runs I remember in the Premier League era. They've scored in the first 90 seconds of 4 straight games.
Wow.
And 3 of those were the first minute. No one had ever done that in the Premier League era.
Wait, say that again? 4 straight games where they've scored in the first 90 seconds?
Correct.
That's wild. Or
put it another way, they have 4 goals in the first 2 minutes this season of games. The other 19 teams have a combined 2 goals in the first 2 minutes of games this season.
What is the what is the NFL equivalent of that?
It's like a sweet play.
First strikes, something like that.
What is it, Paul? What is it?
First play, you're scoring on your first play from scrimmage or something.
Yeah, 4 times in a row or something.
Yeah, but you'd have to like almost do like do they have a special play they run or something, Paul?
Kind of. I mean, it's clearly intentional. You know, they're starting just as simple as putting more guys on the midline at the beginning and pushing them forward quickly. Basically kind of playing long balls forward. Get to it first and score.
Yeah, just win the kickoff and chip it downfield, and let the guys get there.
By the way, that's an excellent question on your part, because I would not have thought. Soccer's so random to me, I would not have thought to ask.
Well, it's a crazy stat. It's like amazing. It almost feels like you got to run something designed out of the kickoff to do that.
And they are. You can see it's almost like a kick return play, just because you have the volume of guys and going long way down the field. So you can see there's clearly intent behind it. So it'll be interesting to see if other teams, A, figure out how to defend it, and B, try starting something like that of their own. I don't know if it's going to be a trend or if it's just something they're on this hot streak for. It'd be fun to watch either way.
All right. So Brentford over a half of a first, over a half first half goals, over 0.5 first half goals. Let's see that.
Brentford to score in the first half, essentially. Because, hey, you're getting an extra 44 minutes.
That's right.
Hey, I'm looking up for a prop that's shorter now. Yeah.
You're getting an extra 44 minutes. That's
you don't need it all.
This is unbelievable, this bet. Okay. Yeah. All right. They're going up again.
And it's just a good matchup with United. I mean, United hasn't handled the press well against better opponents, and Brentford does some of that, too. So, I like Brentford. Yeah. First half goal +130.
Okay. The rare over half of first half goal bet from Paul, but we understand why. And then you're on Southampton also tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm stealing this one from a colleague of mine, Anthony DeBundo, Ringer Soccer Show. Southampton's in 19th place. They have 1 point so far this season. So this feels terrible in a lot of ways. But they're playing Leicester, which is also a newly promoted team and actually has worse underlying numbers. And this is a style thing. Southampton's trying to possess the ball like they did last year in the second division and be patient and all this. And they've just run into a lot better teams who can press them and take the ball away and get easy goals. And Leicester City is not one of those teams. So I think Southampton style will work better here against Leicester, like it did when Southampton played Ipswich. And there's a bit of a desperation factor for Southampton. If they can't win this, are they ever going to win a game? So Southampton win +130 at home against Leicester.
All right. And then what I would assume would be the marquee matchup of the weekend, Liverpool, which tops the Premier League table right now through 7 games. Of the 38 match season, if you will, taking on the team that's tied for 4th right now, Chelsea.
Yeah, I'm going under 3.5. Liverpool's been an under machine this year, as far as at least relative to 3.5. None of their Premier League games have had more than 3 goals. -120, I got this at. It's probably around -125 now, or I'd still play it. Again, Liverpool is just controlling the game more than they used to last year. It's not the run and gun they kind of had under Jurgen Klopp. Everything's a little bit more deliberate. Both these teams give up bad shots, and I mean that in a good way from a defensive standpoint. They're limiting opponents' quality chances. So while this is the marquee game, and of course it could get crazy, I think Liverpool will rather keep it settled. Chelsea's okay with that too. You know, 1-1 type of game. Maybe someone scrapes it out 2-1, but under 3.5 at -120 is my play here.
All right, Brentford over half of first half goal +130 versus Man U. Southampton to win against Leicester City. And then the Liverpool-Chelsea under. Paul Carr, everybody, from True Media Networks and, of course, the Expected Value Podcast. Thank you, Paul.
You bet. Have a good weekend.
You too. Jason Weingarten, baseball next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Vidlin. Still to come, Football Fridays. Fezzik, sandwiched in between Felica and Dr. Bob.
Not bad. It's not bad.
Kelly likes it so much he leaves.
That's right.
It does. It just goes.
I got to make room.
I got to make room. By the way, you know what I don't do enough? I don't shout out the crew enough. I'm a very rude individual is what I am. Can we shout out Brendan back there? Savannah, doing a great job. Darnell, as always. Bobby Knuckles, who just left the building. We're okay with that, Bobby Knuckles. The great Roberto Moreno. Of course, Darnell, we can't forget. I don't know if Reggie's here today, but we love Reggie.
Reggie does a lot around town. He was freelance helping us out, but Savannah taking over as our new technical director.
Officially today was the baton.
Yes, the baton passing.
Okay. If I forgot anybody, they'll hate me now. So, but anyway, just great crew every day. They make this possible. Kelly's just the pretty face in front of the camera.
That's right.
Without those guys, can't do anything.
Producer Brendan, for sure. There's no doubt about that.
Brendan, believe me, Brendan produces half of this. We get tweets. No, I'm kidding. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Trip Tepper, putting the Megapod on YouTube makes so much sense. It would introduce a global audience to the best betting pod in the biz. Thank you. Resulting in a net increase of your overall audience and reach. I am a firm believer in this, Trip Tepper. I am with you. I don't buy into the it cannibalizes audio downloads philosophy. You know who used to do a terrible job of this? The late, great Prince.
Huh?
Prince Rogers Nelson. You know what his whole thing was?
No.
He was like, as soon as one of his songs or one of his videos got on YouTube, he'd have an army of people take it down. He goes, you can't listen to my music without me getting compensated for it. Instead of somebody telling the great Prince Rogers Nelson, you know, Prince, you may want to get some new fans who are, you know, younger than the age of 35 kind of thing. So I'm all about that. I am all for podcasts going on YouTube. Xavier 82 imitating me on the podcast. He says, can I finish a sentence? That's me talking to Todd.
What's the total on how many times you say that a pod? It's got to be like 2.5.
He cannot let me finish. It is. Oh, my God. Is it annoying? Xavier goes on to say, I love Will rants on taking the Titans again and the Wemby blocking analogy with trying to complete a sentence on Todd is I don't know what your emoji is there. Sorry. Miami Dolphin song returns and everyone waving hello to Chris's wife. Top notch episode, gentlemen. He's waving in the middle. I was like, why are you waving to us? Oh, he's your wife. Scott, New York, Mess 16. Only Gil could bring Chance Copperpot, the Goonies, and Eddie Murphy coming together. Goody goo goo. Thank you for catching it. I was hoping somebody would. Thank you, Scott, New York, Mess. And then Xavier also adds, he says, good morning, fellas. Have a great day. Great show. Gil, who would you take in Survivor this week? I'm heavily leaning on the unanimous pick on the Megapod, largest favorite to lose outright. Did we all pick the Commodores as that pick? Because that's who I would go with if I still had them. I think that's
who I would go with this week. Yeah.
And then Kevin Ryan. Oh, Kevin Ryan's been cashing on this. He said, Gil, I've been betting over 1.5 field goals on Denver, Dallas, Pittsburgh, and Atlanta every week, and it's been highly profitable. Must bet them early in the week to save juice.
Yeah, okay? I know. I feel like I know a couple people that have been doing that with at least a couple of the teams you mentioned.
Bill Spagnoli. Similarly, a missed bet that loses is a way better feeling than a win, lucky or otherwise. Oh, that's a good call.
Bill Spagnoli.
Well done. Bill's at Spags to Riches. Very clever handle. And then Bruce Dobing, and I'm not sure I understand this one. Paul Carr with the Brentford hype. We will sell you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
Yeah, I don't know.
Later, Kelly Bidlin interprets the tweets.
Well, like you're sitting on the edge of your seat, right? But you only need it for the first 5 minutes. I think it's something he's trying to get at there. Yeah,
it's just too highbrow.
I'm trying to find a bet for us, okay? I've been looking for the past 15 minutes now
for the Brentford bet?
Brentford to score in the first 5 minutes or something absurd.
Did we ask Paul where he saw that specifically? Maybe we should have done that.
I did off air, and I can't find it.
Well, are we allowed to say it on air?
He said it was under the game props specials under DraftKings. DraftKings only has 900 different markets up for this one game.
Good luck. Spend an hour finding that. Ladies and gentlemen, comes to us from under a cloud of smoke, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, somewhere under a cloud of smoke in Southern Cali, where the Dodgers are doing big things, obviously in their series, now in Citi Field doing big things. It's Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia. What's happening, Jason?
Good morning. How's it going? Looks like we get an elimination game today, and can't say enough good things about that Yankees game last night. Might have been the game of the postseason.
Might have been in what had been a great postseason up until like the last few days. You're right. That was as electrifying as it gets. Let me just ask you this, because football was my first love, right? Like the first time I saw a football game, I could think of nothing else. I was like 6 years old. But there is something about the baseball postseason that when it's good, it's about as good as anything. Would you go with that?
Yeah, it's when those moments happen, they you know, Big Christmas. They're never gonna
Big Christmas.
You know, never gonna forget Big Christmas now.
John Kensie Noel, Big Christmas.
I was definitely very well aware of him before last night.
By the way, that was a great call by Brian Anderson on that home run, making the Christmas references. The Spanish broadcast was even more insane. they were Feliz Navidad-ing the whole time he was rounding the bases. It was awesome. Do you think, I'm judging by what you said earlier, you think the Dodgers close it out today?
Yeah, I think Dodgers close it out today. I bet them. They really stomped on the Mets last night, and they're throwing Drew Peterson in an elimination game down 3-1. No disrespect to Drew Peterson, but we've seen the Dodgers, even with their pitching injuries this year, they're just on another level right now. And you know the way they're winning games, and when you got Mookie and Shohei Ohtani in the top of that lineup hitting, and you have the pitchers pitching well and the bullpen doing what they're doing, and everything's trending in the right direction for the Dodgers, I think they win tonight. I don't think the series gets back to LA.
You also think they'll get the best of David Peterson in addition to Drew Peterson, I assume, as well.
Sorry, David. Yeah. Drew. Yeah, yeah, you know, D Peterson, I see D Peterson dash L. That's all I need to know.
I was wondering how Doug Peterson was going to get back from London so quick.
That's right.
I said Drew, not Doug. Right?
No, you said Drew. Yeah. That's great. Dodgers minus 142 favorites. It is Flaherty against Peterson today. The Dodgers are just so, it's just like, I just feel as though, and I know they were, you know, they ended up with the best record in baseball. I should probably point that out at the top. They ended up with the best record in baseball, and yet there's almost this feeling like they played possum for most of the season, right? Like they just weren't, they weren't quite as spectacular, right? They didn't get to 100 wins in the end, so it wasn't quite as spectacular as people might have thought they would have been, and yet they ended up with the best record, and then here they are on center stage just destroying the Mets. Like if it's not one guy, it's the other. You would make them a favorite over either team coming out of the AL, I would imagine?
I think so. I don't know what the market's going to make. You know, I presume a Dodgers Yankee matchup is likely going to happen. I don't know what the line would be for that, but the Dodgers would certainly be a favorite, and I'd expect them to win that. I'm already saving my money for a World Series ticket, like I was saying last time.
All right, but let's do it this way. Let's ask it this way because I know you're already sort of saying it's fait accompli, but I want to sort of induce a bet from you. If I said to you, all right, the Guardians down 2-1 are plus 267 on the adjusted series price. The Mets down 3-1 are plus 837. You are forced to make one of those bets. Which would you make?
I guess I'd take the Mets because, you know, you got to win that game today and that price is going to come down. The Guardians, I think, got their best shot in last night, and I just don't think they're going to be able to compete with the Yankees. But, you know, stranger things have happened. So seeing the Yankees blow this lead would not be out of the question. I hope it doesn't happen. But yeah, that's where we're at. I don't know. It's been a pretty fun season. I hope the Dodgers and Yankees close this out and we get the World Series that'll, you know, drive the ratings, so to speak.
You're on the Dodgers, as you said today, to close it out. What about the the nightcap tonight? Is Game 4 back in Cleveland? Series now 2-1 after that dramatic Guardians win last night. This is going to be Luis Gil against Gavin Williams. Neither has gone since the regular season. Any play on this game?
Yeah, you just said it. Neither's gone since the regular season, so it's a weird spot to be backing either one of these guys here. Fortunately, Dodgers go first, so I can assess during or after that game. I'm not in a hurry to bet that. I do lean Yankees. I know we're running out of time here, so just wanted to mention one NFL futures bet I
Please,
like.
Yes.
Defensive player of the year, the Packers safety Evan Williams has been the number one rated safety for rookies so far the last couple weeks. So if he gets an uptick in playing time, I'd like to see what he can continue to do. I got him at 45-1 this week. I think that's a much better bet. Jared Verse is a real kind of lame favorite with the Rams being 1-4 and likely headed towards a lost season. So yeah, I'd be looking to fade the favorite there. Evan Williams to play for me.
Evan Williams for defensive player of the year. I didn't see that coming.
I agree with Jason.
Defensive rookie of the year.
I agree with Jason. There's value somewhere in that market down further down the board.
45-1. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Enjoy the games.
Have a good weekend. Go Dodgers.
You too. Football Friday. Felica next.